Welcome to the History Vault.
This week we're going to talk about the great fires that have happened around Liverpool in our past. And we're doing that partly because of the fire that we all encountered this summer in both Queens County and Annapolis County. And so glad they were able to get those under control with no loss of life. And Linda and Kathy are here. Good morning, ladies. How are you today?
Hi, Dan.
We're fine, Dan. How are you?
We're just great. And all the better for you guys coming in. So let's get started and give us an intro, Linda, what this is going to entail over the next couple of weeks.
Well, Dan, Kathy and I were talking about some of our upcoming programming that we'd like to do here on the History Vault. And as you just said, you know, we went through a lot this summer with the fires out in North Queens and, you know, and now just recently the Broad River one. But it just made us think about all what Liverpool and other parts of Queens County has been through with fires through our history. And Liverpool really suffered tremendously with their great fires alone. And so we thought it would be good to have a little mini series, if you wish, on the great fires of Liverpool, but also at some point to lead into the histories of our fire department, because, you know, we don't give enough credit to our fire departments, not only here in Liverpool, but the surrounding communities as well. And we tend to forget that, you know, the last 100 years or more, these men are all volunteers and continue to be volunteers today. And when we think of, you know, the stories that we're about to tell you, that the members of the community and the volunteers, they didn't have the equipment to work with is what they have with today. But anyhow, it's sort of a thank you to all the fire departments. So we're going to talk a little bit about the history of them as well, you know, possibly next week. But we thought we'd do a chronological history of the great fires of Liverpool and the surrounding communities. And we gave these stories one time to Armin Wigglesworth when he was doing one of his volumes. I can't remember the name of Armin's books, but
Anecdotes of Queens County.
Anecdotes of Queens County.
But it was
County,
also part of his weekly newspaper.
Yeah, but it was our opportunity, and Armin was really good about it. It was our opportunity to give him as many history stories as possible. And one of them that we gave him was almost a chapter on all of the great fires. So yeah, that's why we wanted to just kind of reiterate that whole thing and start with that. And hopefully someday it'll be a little publication for us, all of the fires, a little blue book publication.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And I guess we're going to start with a fire. I mean, I'm sure there was fires before this date, but this is the first recorded fire, or the first large recorded fire in Liverpool, and that happened in 1865. And Kathy, you're going to tell us about it.
I'd love to tell you about it. First thing I have to say about, we talk about fires and forest fires and wildfires and house fires. Back in 1865, they had conflagrations. Doesn't that sound much more dramatic than there's a fire? Mm-hmm. But anyway, back mid-September of 1865, after a long, very dry, drought-filled, is this sounding familiar?
Yeah.
Year.
Sounds like
history. History repeats itself.
And although it did not involve a cow, it did involve a barn. As Mrs. O'Leary's cow from the great Chicago fire. Well, the great Liverpool fire did involve a barn, but no cow that we know of. And in the area where today the United Church is located, but in that general area there was a barn. And the fire started about 11 o'clock in the morning. And it started, and they thought they could control it. Well, the fire had other ideas, because as I said, it had been a very long, excruciatingly dry summer. The wells that they would have drawn water from were dry. The pumper truck had to be brought from the fire station, and they would have fed it from the lake, from the river. And it just started, and it started to spread. And the first place it moved after that was what was known as then the New Methodist Church, which is Zion, it's like where Zion Church is placed today. And it just went up like a tinderbox. It just practically exploded. It was such so dry. And then the fire just kept moving and moving along the street. It then moved next door, took down the Baptist chapel. It then moved across the street and took all the area where we see McPherson Street now. It then moved down far where we see Frenchies today, and it just kept moving. Now, one thing you have to kind of imagine when you're thinking about these fires is the waterfront. The waterfront was very different than it is today. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the river edge was on the left side of Henry Hansen Drive, so the side closest to the town. It would have traveled through, the parking lot wasn't there, so the edge of the river would have run.
Wharves, it was nothing but wharves.
Nothing but finger wharves, a lot of dried timber waiting to go out on those wharves, mm-hmm. and waiting to go out the ships. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this fire had nothing but fuel. Mm. So it just blew and grew and grew and grew, and it was just amazing. So after it burned down the chapel, it went burnt down the parsonage next to it. It started moving across the wharves, across the fingerlings. It went all the way to our current Bridge Street and burnt through the burial grounds. And they said if anybody's ever watched a prairie grass fire jumping, this is what it was like, because there was many fields in Liverpool at that time, and it was just an amazing way to watch it go. There was a loss of life. A young black boy named James Young had both his legs broken, and I love the description, broken fearfully. I don't know quite what that means, and actually died of his injuries the next day. And a Mr. Tebert of Milton received injuries about the head and chest, and besides having broken ankles dealing with the fire. So this was a truly horrible fire. I mean, they even tried to form a committee of the town that by having a meeting at the, again, newly constructed courthouse. And they tried to say, okay, we got to form teams, we got to watch all these areas that are burning or smoldering. They used overnight. So what they would do is they were actually talking about pulling down houses to create fire gaps. So even though this is like 150 years ago, they're still using the same fire techniques that they use today. So finally, it kept going along, and it was burning. It actually took the Masonic Hall used by the Prince of Wales Lodge. And after the end of it showed that 12 homes were lost and a large number of shops and or buildings were lost. So it was quite devastating. Sadly, because photography was in its infancy, there are no pictures of it. But when you read the actual description from what was then the Liverpool Transcript, which eventually would turn into the Advance, it was just totally devastating at what happened. So just imagine. But one thing that was very noted is after the devastation and during the fires, the town of Liverpool of that time could not say enough wonderful things about the people of Milton, besides supplying men to help fight the fires, relief to people who lost their homes. They were just such a great support, and it's really wonderful to see that kind of support continued again to this year when you hear about the fire out in North Queens and what everybody was doing, buying water and that little restaurant out there that supported it. It's just amazing that even though it's 150
everyone
years
comes
apart,
together.
Everyone comes together in a time of crisis.
Yeah,
they certainly do. And you got to remember that back then, fire apparatus was the only way to move it was with horses. There was no motor cars back then, no trucks.
And later on in our little series of talks about the fires and the fire departments, one of the things we will be talking about is the equipment from the in the fire departments themselves, from the early equipment up to the maybe not so much the new, but we're going to talk about just what those men had to work with.
Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to come up almost 20 years to 1884, and there was another fire along Main Street, and Linda's going to tell us about that.
Well, and I'll just note before we do that, that we did start off with the 1865 fire. As you had noted, Dan, that it was really the first documented fire. But just to say that we have, you know, we talk a lot about the Simeon Perkins diary, which goes up to 1812. But when you read through that, he never really talked much about...
There was never great fires, except the one he reported, of course, there was the Guysboro community fire of 1784.
Yeah. But other than that, there really wasn't, which is unusual, you know, and lucky for them. So that's why we started with the 1865 fire.
Well, part of it could be that... I mean, if they were small fires, maybe they weren't news back then. Maybe there was enough of them that happened that it wasn't something that somebody would write down.
Well, that's possible, Simeon just wrote everything.
Well, I mean, we're not saying that there weren't fires, because there is mention of you know, people injured in fires and such, but it's just that there didn't seem to be these great massive loss of property fires. Of course,
no.
Town was more spread out then.
Yes, that's right, it was. But so anyhow, so to take us to the 1884 fire, now we're back up on Main Street by the current day PharmaChoice building. And in 1874, the Freemasons of Zetland Lodge built, because as Kathy noted, the Prince of Wales Lodge was lost in the 1865 fire. But so 10 years later, the Freemasons of the Zetland Lodge built a most magnificent building, and it was really quite magnificent for Liverpool, for the architecture in Liverpool. And we only have, I think, one photograph in our collection of that building. It was a huge three-story building, and we do have a picture that shows an actual photograph that shows a side. It's taken down here probably by this building across the street here where we're looking out the window, and it's going up the street, so you can kind of just see a little bit of it. And then at some point in time, someone did an etching of the building from the front so that people could buy it and frame it and such. Probably fellow Freemasons purchased it. Regardless, in 1884, an evening in February, there were high winds, and a fire did start in the building, in the evening. And they think that probably it started in the upstairs, somewhere near the lodge room. And the fire department, there were two companies, company number one, company number two. They came and, you know, worked effortlessly to contain this fire. But as Kathy had pointed out, in the 1865, you know, it just seemed like there was just so much dry wood. And this was an evening when the winds were very high, and it made it very difficult to get the fire out. But the lodge room up on the third floor, the entire building just became engulfed in flames. The third floor that was the home to the Zetland Lodge, it was also occupied by the Rossignol chapter of the Royal Archmasons. And so with that third floor and the fire starting there, both of those organizations lost all of their furniture and all of their regalia. Down on the second floor was home to one of the Liverpool newspapers called the Liverpool Times. They were gone. They lost everything. And also on that second floor was apparently a very well talked about, most beautiful billiards table that was owned by a merchant there on that part of the street, Mr. Barse, and he was a Barse of the Barse family over at Lane's. The beautiful billiards table was lost. Now, down on the first floor were merchant stores, were different, a couple of different merchants, and of course, so The entire building was lost. There was a little tailor shop next door to the building, to the Masonic Lodge, and that building and business was lost as well to the owner. The lodge built the building for the magnificence of the building, and of course in 1884 it only cost $12,000, only for us. But, you know, I would imagine that $12,000 to the lodge back then.
Well, considering a weekly was a lot wage of money. Was $4.
Yeah, was a lot of money.
That's what $12,000 was real
but
money.
But the Freemasons, you know, the Freemasons built that. So to put $12,000 together and build a magnificent building like that was saying something for the organization. But anyhow, so it was never able to be rebuilt. Due to that, there was no insurance, and so unfortunately, that was a loss to Liverpool, to a beautiful piece of architecture that only a few photographs or a photograph and an etching survive.
That's too bad, because I mean, today there's the Masonic Lodge is down at the corner of Legion Street,
I guess,
and Main Street.
And Main,
And it's been around for quite a while. That building's been around.
It has. Well, but you know, Dan, that probably, I'm just trying to think, because, you know, sooner we'll be talking about the 1895 fire, but it never reached down in that area. So that probably is the building that was built to replace that huge structure that burned in 1884. Because I don't know of any other building after that that housed the Freemasons.
I could be wrong.
I
don't know how long they've been meeting in that building, but I know it's quite a long time. I mean, you see the pictures in there of the past, and and some of the
and that's an
in
old,
there is a long,
and
been
that's,
a long time.
And that's an old building just because it's covered in siding right now. That, you know, that's an old building. Yeah.
But let's move on to, Linda said we're going to talk about a fire in 1895, and it's called the Great Conflagration. Whoa, Kathy, there's your word.
My word is
that one was.
We'll split it up between Linda and Kathy and let them tell you about this conflagration. Yeah.
Well, again, September is not a good month for Liverpool. Remember this, because this one happened on September the 8th. The other one happened on September 15th. So keep your eyes open, Liverpool.
Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. You're right, Dan.
Yes.
That's right. It's an anniversary date.
It's an anniversary. Well, it was actually the evening of the 14th, so we're kind of a two-day affair. But anyway, back to 1895. That one was September the 8th. As Dan has already said, the most destructive conflagration that ever occurred in Liverpool happened. And it actually started in this very area, Dan. It's all in the corners
down
of Water Street and what is now Market Street. At that time, it had
but
a different...
But down by the water.
But down by the water. And just to give our listeners a little picture, you have to kind of imagine the bridge having another span, being a bit longer than it is today. You have
in
to...
In a different location. Well, the bridge back then was further over.
Yeah.
It wasn't where the bridge is today.
But I mean, just to give a quick idea. And what you also have to think about is we've kind of lost it over the last few years here on Market Street. But you couldn't realize how incredibly close the houses and the buildings were. Businesses literally right on top of each other, mixed in with people's
houses.
And
we're talking two and three story buildings. So, you know, a number of businesses contained in one building because they're so huge. And then you have all of the finger wharfs because of the non-parking lot.
And finger wharves, and there would have been warehouses all full of lovely combustible things. And it was just right to make a conflagration. And so as it started back, I said down, it went to a place called Jubilee Hall. And Jubilee Hall, to our best estimate, is probably where
Smith's Furniture
is in that.
And there was an old bakery.
Whoa, stop right there. Smith's Furniture.
Yeah.
I know. We forgot ourselves for a minute.
We're showing our age.
You're young to remember Smith's Furniture.
Exactly. No, it's what is now corner of Market Street and the current Water Street. It's I believe all the little businesses in there.
A
number
it's
of
like
businesses, but
spa.
The one right on the corner.
That's the professional center now, isn't it?
Where Social Opportunities is?
No, other side.
No, on the other side. Right here, we're on this block.
On this block, just down from the radio station.
Okay, so where Borden Hanley's building was.
But the other corner. I believe it's a heating system.
It's like a hairdresser shop
and
there.
And then there's hairdressers and there's a number.
But in the area where, like just across the street, in the area like of Borden Henley's shop, there was an old bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fire started. It was an old bakery near the corner mm-hmm. of Bridge, because Market Street, as Kathy said, was called Bridge Street then, and Water Street. And they figure that's where the fire started, was down near the old bakery. So you're talking about down near the wharf, or, you know, what would have been one of the wharves back then.
And for old farts like us, it is not Simone's Bakery.
Siemens Bakery.
We still
not ringing any bells.
No, that's
yeah,
okay. That's
again, like we're
said,
showing our we're aging
showing our
further
age.
Back. Yes, you're right,
Kathy. That's pretty funny because I guess it's not my age. It's the fact that I haven't been here that long.
The world has changed.
We just forget ourselves.
That's why we
for
need you, Dan, to keep us because occasionally I go, oh, yeah, you know that. It's where so-and-so.
Yeah.
So-and-so hasn't mm-hmm. been there for 30 years.
No.
So, oops.
No. Yeah.
So anyway, it started. It started to spread just as the earlier fires had.
Mm.
Again, the fire department responded, but it was such an intense fire that they actually had to, in one case, take the fire engine and move it across the river because the fires were eating the fire hoses.
Holy jumper.
Yeah, well, that's as the fire started to spread.
Yeah.
Like when Kathy mentioned that it went to Jubilee Hall, which was where we were just saying on this block, but on the other end of this block. And when the fire really started to engulf, because as she said too, there's just so many buildings and so many businesses down there. Because then it started to engulf what was called Rosignol House, and Rosignol House was that empty parking lot just down the street here. I don't know who owns it. In behind the tavern.
The empty parking lot
just down the street here on Market Street. Well, that old building, there was a building called Rosignol House in that area. So as it started to engulf Rosignol House and it's also engulfed Jubilee Hall, you're talking two immense structures. And so as Kathy was saying that they've started to lay the hose along the street because they've had to back up the pumper to across the bridge, and the flames are getting the downside to all of this is on the night that started, there was a huge gale wind that was blowing, and that's what was not. It was the firemen were trying to fight against this gale that was just blowing the flames everywhere. So
it's quite amazing. So we've got two immense buildings burning, and the fire, the gales, the fire starts to move up the block to consume where we're sitting right now. It jumped across the street in what is now Alan Founce's law office. That area was consumed. The whole other side of Market Street was consumed. Then it started to jump over across to across Main Street. And it started to consume a place called the Forbes Block, which in modern terms is where you would find today the Bank of Nova Scotia, the little art gallery, Edge's Art Studios, the lawyer's office, that whole area started to go. And again, it started to spread.
At the intersection,
it started to spread in both directions. I mean, this was a devastating fire. It finally actually reached as far as Jubilee Street. And as they were burning along, it... of course.
Well, and then it started. It didn't touch a whole lot on Jubilee Street.
No.
Like a spark went over to Jubilee Street and caught something over there.
Mm-hmm.
But then as it traveled to it had pretty well by this time engulfed this whole block over to, what is the street in behind the post office?
It is now called Carton Street.
Carton Street. It had pretty well consumed the whole block and then was working its way to Court Street.
So you have firemen that are dealing with two fires going in two directions. And so what happens there is one of the sparks actually jumps from the burning here on Main Street and catches fire to the church, which is located where the curling rink is now, the old Methodist church, Congregationalist church.
It was a shingle.
It was a shingle. It just blew across.
Because of the gale, it was a shingle that blew over to the spire of the Congregational church, and it caused pandemonium.
Oh.
Because the spire was on fire, and the hoses couldn't reach it. And they thought, okay, maybe if we take dynamite and blow up the spire, then it'll all come down and we can save the church. But it didn't happen.
It didn't work out.
But before the shingle flew over to the church, it's consuming Court Street.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's taken out pretty well all of Main Street. This block is already gone here where the radio station is, but it makes its way over to Court Street, and it's pretty well burned all of Carton Street, and they're trying everything they can to save Dr. Farish's house. It's amazing how many fires that house has not been affected by. But then it made its way over to Court Street, and then it took out the big hotel. The Thorndike was there, and that's where the flying shingle came off of the Thorndike over to the Congregational church. Now that tells you how strong that wind was to go from the Thorndike, which was the Mersey Hotel, over to the Congregational church. But you know, because we're running out of time, Dan, we can finish the 1895 fire next week.
Okay, well, we'll do that. I think we'll leave it here, ladies, with almost at the close of the 19th century, and next week we'll be talking about fires of the 20th century, or I don't know how far we'll get, but we'll leave it open-ended and see what we can do. You've been listening to 99.3. This is the History Vault on QCCR.